Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Good to see all of you this morning. We pray God's blessings on our time together. A little Beethoven to get us started this morning. That was a nice prelude as well. We're here one Sunday after Easter, and there's a lot of stuff happening on this particular day. This is one of those unusual days in the church here where pretty much every Christian throughout the world is focusing on the same gospel reading. And that gospel reading is from John chapter 20 and what we would commonly refer to as Doubting Thomas. We pray that God would richly bless us as we hear His Word this day. A couple of words on our worship service for this morning. Our opening hymn, as we heard in our prelude, 477, Alleluia, Alleluia, Hearts to Heaven. Following that hymn, we'll follow and pray the order of Matins. That's on page 219 and following. Have a worship insert for the day. Readings are on one side, the propers are on the other. Please note that after the readings and before the sermon, there is an Easter response. An Easter response, which is kind of fun too. It's got lots of alleluias in it. Before we sing our opening hymn, let's take a moment, notice and greet our brothers and sisters in Christ. May not know who you're sitting next to or worshiping with. That's okay. Take a second and find out. In Jesus, we are one. Let's greet each other in the name of the Lord. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank You for this joyous season of Easter, a time when we bask in the glow of the resurrection of Your Son Jesus from the grave and from death. Heavenly Father, in the midst of our life, we are surrounded by many problems, many assaults, many fears, and many doubts. Heavenly Father, bless us this day and drive away all fear with the perfect love which is Your Son, crucified and risen for us. It is in the powerful and precious name of Jesus that we gather, worship, and pray this day. Amen. Amen. Hymn 477. 219. Page 219. O Lord, open my lips,
and my mouth will declare your praise.
Make haste, O God, to deliver me.
Make haste to help me, O Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the
Blessed be God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
O come, let us worship Him. O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us praise our glorious God, our salvation.
God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
O God, let us worship Him.
We sing together the introit for the day. seated. Continue with our office hymn number 470, O Sons and Daughters of the King. Old Testament reading for the second Sunday of Easter is from Ezekiel chapter 37. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and He brought me out in the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of the valley. It was full of bones. And He led me around among them, and behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley, and behold, they were very dry. And He said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, You know. Then He said to me, Prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to the bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live. And you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a sound. And behold, a rattling. And the bones came together, bone to bone. And I looked, and behold, there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them. But there was no breath in them. Then He said to me, Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, Thus says the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as He commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. Then He said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, Our bones are dried up, and our hope is lost. We are clean cut off. Therefore, prophesy, and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, Behold, I will open your graves and raise you up from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you into the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people. And I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live. And I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. I have spoken, and I will do it, declares the Lord. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle is from 1 John chapter 5. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is He who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. Not by the water only, but by the water and the blood. And the Spirit is the one who testifies, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that testify, the Spirit and the water and the blood, and these three agree. If we receive the testimony of men, the testimony of God is greater. For this is the testimony of God, that He has borne concerning His Son. Whoever believes in the Son of God has the testimony in himself. Whoever does not believe, God has made him a liar, because he has not believed in the testimony that God has borne concerning His Son. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 20th chapter. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, Peace be with you. When He had said this, He showed them His hands and His side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of anyone, they are forgiven. If you withhold forgiveness from anyone, it is withheld." Now Thomas, one of the 12, called a twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So their disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written, so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in His name. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
Easter Responsory, page 222. Sing to the Lord and bless His name. Proclaim His salvation from day to day.
Give to the Lord all glory and praise. Give Him the honor in His name. Alleluia, alleluia.
Now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the first fruits of them that sleep.
Give to the Lord all glory and strength. Give Him the honor in His name. Alleluia, alleluia.
Glory be to the Father and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
Give to the Lord all glory and strength. Give Him the honor in His name. Alleluia, alleluia.
Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Grace, mercy, peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our sermon this morning comes from the Gospel lesson read a few moments ago from the 20th chapter of the Gospel according to St. John, dear friends in Christ. The doors were locked. The disciples were gathered together that first Easter morning in the upper room, the very same upper room where Jesus had celebrated the Last Supper, the Lord's Supper, with them at the beginning of that dark, long, fateful, dreadful night. John tells us that the doors were locked for fear of the Jews. Fear that the disciples thought was entirely justified. If an innocent Jesus could be killed without a fair trial, then what could happen to his followers? But then the women burst in. "The tomb is empty!" Peter and John go to investigate. "The tomb is empty!" Mary Magdalene is next, trembling with joy and astonishment. I have seen the Lord! He is not dead, He is alive, He's risen! Later that afternoon, two disciples pound on the locked door. We talked to Jesus on the road to Emmaus. He has conquered the grave. But the disciples remain in their bunker all day long, listening to the news as it comes in. Something is amazing. Something amazing is happening. But they're not quite sure what it is yet. There is not joy in their faces, but confusion and fear. And every time after the next round of guests shows up, they faithfully go and lock the door. But the risen Jesus doesn't really care about locked doors. He breaks into His church. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." Locked doors don't concern the risen Jesus. He passes right through them. And He comes with a message, a proclamation, "Peace be with you." He brings peace to a church cowering in fear, cowering behind their locked doors. Peace is His gift. Peace is the reason that He went to His death upon the cross, and it is the fruit of His resurrection. It is the result, the consequence of the empty tomb. Now this peace is much more than simply the absence of war, turmoil, or violence. His peace is cosmic. His peace is eternal. His peace takes care of the only conflict that really matters. For when Jesus says, "Peace be with you," He is bringing to the disciples peace between God and man. The rift between God and man, the rift between Creator and creation has been healed, bridged by the sacrifice of Christ. He died in our place to win peace, and He rose to declare to the world that peace has been won, that the Father has accepted His sacrifice. And this peace will characterize eternity. In the resurrection, we will live in perfect, eternal peace. That gift has been won through the cross and the empty tomb. Now that peace is brought as a gift to Jesus' own disciples. And the disciples have joy. The joy of the resurrection. The joy that comes only through faith in the risen Jesus. Their doubt, their unbelief is driven away. And now Jesus has a mission for His chosen 11. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." They will go forth into this darkened world to bring it that same peace. Jesus was sent into this world by the Father to accomplish salvation, to win peace. And now His disciples will go forth to deliver that peace, to bring that peace to all people. Locked doors are no longer needed. Now the disciples go forth to unlock heaven. They are here changed from disciples, learners, into apostles, sent ones. And what's even better is that they don't go alone. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of anyone, they are forgiven. If you withhold forgiveness from anyone, it is withheld." You see, the work of Jesus is that of forgiveness. Forgiveness brings to people the peace of Jesus. Eternal peace between God and man. Here the apostles are given the privilege of going out to forgive sins, bringing the peace won by Jesus to sinners. With these words, Jesus establishes the pastoral office. And he intends it to be an office that is all about the forgiveness of sins. And the Holy Spirit goes with them. It goes with all those who hold this office, for the men who hold it can do nothing on their own. They need the Holy Spirit for the work that they are to do. And Jesus, in grace, in mercy, gives Him to them. The 11 apostles are given wondrous gifts that first Easter evening. Not only are they given the peace of the resurrection for themselves, but they are commissioned, they are ordained to take this peace out into the world. And the Holy Spirit, the promise of the Holy Spirit, is sent with them. But as John tells us, not all of the 11 were present and accounted for that night to receive the gifts of Jesus. Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not there when Jesus came. Why was Thomas absent? Now, John doesn't tell us. He simply reports that he wasn't there. For some reason or another, perhaps quite innocent, perhaps not so innocent, Thomas excluded himself from the community of believers in their most desperate hour. And because he wasn't there, because he didn't join his brothers in the upper room, he didn't meet the risen Jesus. He did not receive those great gifts. You know, it doesn't really matter why Thomas was absent. People have all sorts of reasons for not going to church when they're able to. And take note, I'm talking about those who are able to. We're not talking about those who are shut in or have medical issues of one sort or another, but those who are able to and don't. Some have reasons that are pretty petty and insignificant. Some have reasons that simply mask a deeper hurt that is in need of healing. And the devil somehow tricks us to think that by staying away from church, we can have that healing. Many of them boil down to the assertion that I can be a Christian by myself. But the simple fact is, we are not Christians in isolation. We do not fly solo in the Christian life. Christ puts His people into community. Now, we cannot believe for another person, but we do have a God-given responsibility to encourage our brothers and sisters in the faith. That's right! I don't know that you ever realize this. I don't know that I think about it as often as I should. One of the reasons we go to church is to serve your neighbor, to help and encourage those who join you here as they too walk through the valley of the shadow of death. You see, we are not just a collection of individuals here this morning, but a community. A family, a congregation. And when we exclude ourselves from the community, we are hurting our brothers and sisters in Christ. We are sinning against them. But as the account of Thomas indicates, we are most significantly hurting ourselves. For those who isolate themselves from the church cut themselves off from Christ's gifts. And in the case of Thomas, that isolation was devastating. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." The isolation of Thomas leads to skepticism and unbelief. He has cut himself off from the gifts of Jesus, and his faith withers away as a result. We call him Doubting Thomas, don't we? But that's really too kind if you actually read the text. Instead, we should call him Unbelieving Thomas. He uses the strongest expression, the strongest negative expression you can use in the Greek language. I will never, ever, ever believe. He has placed himself outside of salvation through his unbelief, giving to all of us a stern example, a stern warning of what can happen when we cut ourselves off from the community of believers. And you know, that should have been the end of the story. But we have a stubborn God who continues to work on us and continues to draw us to Himself. And through the work of the Holy Spirit, think about it. This is a miracle. Thomas is back with the disciples 8 days later. Now, he still has his unbelief, but like a church member who comes only a couple of times a year, at least he's in the pew. And in that same upper room, Jesus launches a direct attack on his unbelief. 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, still locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." In the midst of the community, the church, amongst his brothers in the faith, Thomas encounters the risen Christ. Jesus is present where he promises to be present, in his church. In the church, he gives his great gifts, the peace that the world can never give. And now Thomas receives that peace and sees the wounds that won that peace, the peace between God and man. And this proclamation of the gospel performs a miracle. It creates faith within him, faith which drives away his unbelief. And the response is one of the greatest confessions we have in the Bible. Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." The same Jesus, Thomas says, crucified and risen, standing before the church bearing the wounds of salvation, is truly Lord and God. True God in human flesh for the salvation of all. Now, you have not had the opportunity to see the risen Christ as Thomas did. You have not had the chance to touch His scars. But you are not for this reason to be pitied. Jesus says, have you believed because you have seen Me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Now Jesus may be gently chastising Thomas, or maybe not so gently chastising Thomas. But He uses this occasion to speak a blessing, a beatitude to you and me, to all those who believe without seeing. We are blessed because Christ has created faith within us, faith which drives out unbelief through the proclamation of the apostles. They continue to preach the message of the resurrection through the Holy Scriptures. As St. John writes, these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in His name. Those who have followed the apostles in the pastoral office have the privilege and the weighty responsibility to speak the words of forgiveness, the proclamation that brings true peace between God and man. Here in this place, again, this morning, the risen Christ has come to you through messengers sent by Him, bringing you forgiveness. The peace of the resurrection, the peace won by the wounds of Christ. Here, you encounter the risen Christ, speaking once again His life-giving words, peace be with you. You are forgiven. You are at peace with God. The wounds that Christ will bear for eternity are His pledge, His seal, His guarantee. You see, only Jesus drives out unbelief and creates faith. And He does so through the proclamation of the gospel here in the midst of His gathered people. We are blessed. For though we have not seen Him as Thomas did, Christ has forgiven our sins. He has created faith within us so that we confess with Thomas, my Lord and my God. In the name of Jesus, amen. We stand and we sing the Te Deum, found on page 223.
Thank you.
Stand. Welcome. Welcome in the name of our risen Lord Jesus Christ. This time we ask that you participate in what we call the rite of fellowship. Pat at the end of each row, please sign your name. Visitors, we're glad you're here. Please share with us your mailing address so we can acknowledge your presence in worship with us. Special word of welcome to those who are worshiping with us on the radio or on the internet. We pray that the good news of a resurrected Christ for you would drive away all fears and doubts. This time also we worship God with our gifts and offerings. Service continues and concludes with the prayers of the church. We begin on page 227 with the Kyrie. Please stand as you're able. Almighty God, grant that we who have celebrated the Lord's resurrection may by your grace confess in our life and conversation that Jesus is Lord and God. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. In addition to the prayer requests that are listed in our news and notes, we pray for Good Shepherd member Brian Campbell, anticipating surgery on Tuesday. We pray for the family of Dwayne Kratke, brother-in-law of Deborah Baker, who was called to his heavenly home yesterday. We pray for Lyle Shart, the brother-in-law of Lois Kirchhoff, who was recently injured in a farm accident. We rejoice with Kim Bach in the gift of a granddaughter born Wednesday, Penelope Jade. And we pray for all vicars and fourth-year seminarians as they anxiously await their call and their placement Monday and Tuesday of this coming week. Lord God, like Thomas, we wrestle with faith amid doubts and fears. Grant us your Holy Spirit so that believing we may see, and seeing we may rejoice in your Son and in the power of his resurrection. Lord, in your mercy, Lord God, you know the hearts of your people and those who have wandered into error or who have fallen away from the faith. Rekindle faith in them and restore them to the fold, that their voices may be one with us in prayer and praise again. Lord, in your mercy, Lord God, the threats against us are great, but you are greater still. Deliver us from conflict, war, and oppression, and provide for us good and wise and honorable leaders who will serve the causes of justice and freedom for all. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord God, without your guidance, we are lost. Give to your church faithful pastors who will preach faithfully at all times, and missionaries through whom your word extends to those still in the darkness of sin and death. Be with all those second and fourth year seminarians as they anxiously await their vicarage placement and their initial call. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord God, we live in community with our neighbors. Make us good citizens and give to us good government in our cities and towns. Open our hearts to the stranger and help us serve our neighbors in love as Christ has served us. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord God, the trials and troubles of this mortal life weigh heavy upon us. Give to the sick and those who suffer the consolation of your grace and healing according to your will. Especially this day we lay before you Brian, Lyle, Jerry, Celeste, Emily, Ed, Marianne, Sonia, Laura Lee, Diane, Betty, Bonnie, Ted, Anna, Larry, Warren, Ken, Bridget and Sophie, Beth, Ralph, Shelley, Betty, Kristen, Desi, Raleigh, Dell, Cassie, Carolyn, Janet, Cindy, Carol, Sharon, Raymond, and all those that we remember in our hearts. We also ask for peace and comfort for the family of Dwayne Kratke, the family of Brett Clark, the family of Lois Schultz, the family of Alice Krause, the family of Sam Malone, and for Melissa Macklin's family as she grieves the loss of her grandfather. Heavenly Father, bless all these your servants with courage, confidence, peace, and true healing. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord God, the things of this world too often distract us from the one great treasure of Christ, who died that we might live and who lives that we might never die. Guide us in the use of things, that we may be ever grateful for your gifts and use them wisely for your purpose and glory. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord God, we have learned to trust in your mercy and to abide in faith amid all circumstances. Even now we pray without fear that your will be done for us, among us, and through us, and that in all things we may learn to be content in your grace and favor. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy, through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, you have safely brought us to the beginning of this day. Defend us in the same with your mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings, being ordered by your governance, may be righteous in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Amen.
Please be seated. Our closing hymn, 482, this joyful Eastertide.
Thank you.
Christ is risen. Hallelujah. Amen. Check out the Good Shepherd News and Notes for the activities and events that are happening in the days and weeks ahead. We've got Easter season devotionals in the back pew, and also the new portals of prayer on the information booth. We announced on Wednesday that we would be having a special voters meeting, not today, but next Sunday. Next Sunday, do you want to expand on that just a little bit, Pastor?
A month ago, we extended a call to a teacher, Mr. Keith Verigay. He turned down the call during Holy Week. He declined the call, so we moved on to the next name on our list, and so we're presenting a name, Mrs. Mary Eric. Her information is posted on the bulletin board. Special voters meeting, same format, same time, right after 8 a.m. worship service on Sunday.
Okay. All right. Very good. On Saturday before Easter, during the Easter Vigil, we confirmed 10 of our young adults here at Good Shepherd. The other class that I teach, the couple of sixth graders, mostly seventh graders, have also written an essay, and those are also posted on the bulletin board just inside the fellowship hall. So check those out, and you'll be impressed with the confession of faith by these young folks. You see that we are vicarless today. We did not send the vicar to Hickman today. He's taking a little break, and he is in Washington, I think, right now. I'm not really sure where he's at. But he flew to Seattle and is meeting and picking up his brother there, who's going to spend the rest of his vicarage at the vicar's house. So I don't know how that's going to work, Lena. We're praying for you. But keep him in your thoughts and prayers as he's far away and traveling back from Washington this week. You're all invited for coffee and goodies in the fellowship hall. Two opportunities for Bible study today. We'll continue our look at the formula of concord. We'll wrap up our study of good works today. And summary of Christian doctrine, room 109. What are we studying today, Pastor? Salvation delivered. Salvation delivered. It is perfect fit for today. Anything else? Oh, yeah, we had it in our prayers. We had originally had several folks from Good Shepherd that were planning on making the trip to Fort Wayne for call day, which is Tuesday, and vicarage placement service, which is Monday. Then Ken had to have surgery, and Brent's father died, and now Deborah Baker's brother-in-law passed away. So we're not going to have any personal representation. I think this will be the first time ever at a call day. But we have been told that we will be receiving vicar number 16 Monday night, and the call day service is on the internet, so I don't know if there's a cost to that or not. So, but you can go on there and watch the service. And then last year's vicar, Marcus Williams, will, by the grace of God, receive his first call at the call day service on Tuesday evening. So Monday evening, Tuesday evening. And remember, Fort Wayne is an hour, it's Eastern time, so it's an hour off. So check it out, and we'll make contact and share with you what we have as soon as we can. Okay. I think that's all. Just join us for coffee and goodies and study of God's Word, and have a blessed Easter season.